Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Geraldine Ewers is publishing her first collection of poetry in her book, Seasons and Senses, poems written over the course of 25 years, life experiences, reflections on various aspects of nature, many of her thoughts based on growing up on a family-owned dairy farm in Kansas with her two younger sisters. She also writes about how those events reaffirmed her Christian faith. Geraldine attended St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas as a parish worker student, then assigned by the Board of Placements for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to Trinity Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi, where she met her future husband, James. Her children's book, The Sea, was published in 2009, and Emotions was published in 2000 in America at the Millennium, the best poems and poets of the 21st century by the International Library of Poetry. Geraldine Ewers, author of Seasons and Senses, with us on This Week in America. Geraldine, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program today.
And thank you, Rick, for having me as your guest.
I love having a chance to see the world through your eyes and enjoy the poetry that you've written. Let's talk about this collection of poetry, the first collection of poems that you decided to publish. Why did you decide to do this, and what went into coming up with the collection?
Over a course of that number of years, I often was inspired just by inner thoughts and experiences of my past. And being a mother and a wife and a grandmother, life has become very rich in many experiences. And so I just decided to share them because I do have a very strong Christian faith in God's goodness and the beautiful world He's created.
Well, talk about the influence of that. And I mentioned growing up on the farm in Kansas. That and then the religious faith that you had at the time and still do to this day, that really shaped who you are, didn't it?
Yes, it did, sir. Life on a farm can be very difficult, but as a child, you don't realize how hard the work is. You enjoy the outdoors and all of the creatures and the plants and the experiences, but I guess I kind of came in to the 50s and the 60s with an old upbringing where the parents were strict and we were required to help as best we could as young children. The gardening, the canning, helping take care of the animals, and then, of course, taking care of each other. I had two sisters, so we were very, very close. And the difficulty of life on the farm was definitely an influence to me as I grew older because I could look back and reflect on life as a child, but how hard work influenced my adult attitude towards providing for my own family and being a good mother and a good wife.
And that bond that you have with the younger sisters, that really comes through in the book, doesn't it? You they're there and pictures, and I'm sure I'm looking at pictures of you and your younger sisters at the time in the book.
Yes, sir. Yes, Gloria and Joyce are my best friends in life. We grew up together, as I said, and when you live on a farm, the neighbors aren't exactly next door. There are miles between and many fields. So we basically raised each other, I guess you could say.
Well, you've been doing this, I mentioned, for over 25 years. The collection is based on a number of thoughts over the course of 25 years. Talk about where this fascination with poetry began. Did you keep a journal during this period?
No, I can't say that I did, and I wish I would have, because it's difficult to remember all of our experiences and memories. But as I said, I grew up in an older philosophy of raising children. I went to a one-room country school, and one of the things that was important to me was that our teacher read to us every day before we were dismissed. Reading was an element of my life that was a very big part of growing up. We were not allowed to just sit in front of the television and watch it endlessly. We read. We listened to the radio. And one of the things our teacher taught us was how to write poetry or limericks. And so I, being a reader myself, I grew up loving words because it's like a paintbrush. words paint a mental picture in our mind when we use the right words and are accurate in our descriptions. So I love the English language, and I was very good at it in school. As far as diagramming sentences and understanding the meanings of words and the Latin prefix, suffixes, and root words. So I just love our language because it is a rich way of enriching our lives and learning about the world around us and also sharing our faith.
I am so impressed with talented writers, poets in particular, because that's always been something that I would think would be difficult to do. It's hard enough sometimes to write a cohesive, comprehensive one sentence, a paragraph, whatever, and to actually take that and to put that into poetry form. And I would say there are challenges to do that, but sometimes I talk to poets and it's like that's sort of second nature to them. Was it ever a challenge in taking your thoughts and in trying to put them in poetry form?
No. Once I had a reflection or an inspiration, mental inspiration, I just wrote it. I could write a poem in a matter of minutes. Because, as I said, I love our language, I love words, I love to read, and I guess I'm a very deeply emotional person. And so when you have those feelings inside, they translate into our words, and I like to share my feelings with people, whether it's my faith, whether it's just something in nature, whether it's just enjoying something I've experienced or a specific aspect of life on this planet Earth, but more importantly, my hope for the future.
What has this been like with family? You've got a number of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. This has to be a really rewarding experience, being able to share your memories with them through the poetry, your observations of nature, that type of thing. I'm assuming this is sort of a bonding experience, isn't it, with children, grandchildren?
It is. I have four sons, and they are very encouraging. And my husband is my biggest cheerleader. He just encouraged me to do this because he says I have a gift and I should share it. And so it was just a collection over the years. I don't write every day. I don't even write every month. It's just when something inspires me at a moment in time. And I just decided to put those 25 poems into a book, and this is the result.
Our guest on the program is Darlene Ewers. That's E-W-E-R-S. The book we're talking about is Seasons and Senses, Poetry and Other Thoughts. This is a republished book now available for sale in ebook and paperback at its lowest retail price. Available for sale in all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner Press, and Media Direct bookstore orders. Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot more. And that's a lot I've given you. You can link on directly to all of that information. Get information on Darlene and the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about inspirations. I would think because of the talent, the gift that you have, you maybe see things a little bit differently than most of us do. We tend to go through life at 110 miles an hour and sometimes don't really stop to reflect, to even look around, to look and to listen and to enjoy life. I think that's one of the gifts that comes across in the books, Seasons and Senses. You really have a different perspective, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You're able to see things that maybe we don't see and to experience things that we don't see. The book is broken down by seasons, and let's talk about that aspect of that. Let's start with the spring season, which is probably my favorite time of the year. And you've got an interesting poem in there that touches on that, A Brand New Day. Talk about spring, the meaning that has for you and that particular poem.
Because I have a Christian faith, this reminds me of Easter Sunday when Christ rose from the grave. A brand new day, the photograph that I chose to illustrate that poem is a sunrise on the Sea of Galilee. And I can just imagine Christ and his disciples walking along the seashore, and he says, "Fear not, it is I." And I do love the morning. The morning is a fresh new day. A brand new day, as this poem is titled, a new opportunity to live our life to our fullest.
And the book is Seasons and Senses, Poetry and Other Thoughts. Darlene Ewers, the author, our guest on the program. And there are a lot of pictures, illustrations in the book as well that help work with the story to enhance what she's saying in the words in the poetry. And another one in there that's really touching as well is promises. And that's something you think of as spring too, don't you? That, you know, promises, yeah. That we all have a shot at something now.
There's always hope when a new child is born. And this particular poem I wrote after our first granddaughter was born. Her father and mother were in the Navy at the time, and so we didn't meet my granddaughter until she was 6 months old. And so when we finally did, I just was taken by her bright eyes and her sweet smile and her laughter. And children are a promise of the goodness in life and promise of good things to come in the future and the hope for their lives to be a success as well. So that one is about my first grandchild.
And I'm sure in the book there are others that we'll talk about other grandchildren. Sunshine, another one in that spring category that is very meaningful.
Yes. We see sunshine in many places, not just from the solar system. Sunshine is in a child's bright eyes, their hopefulness, their trust, in our children. But the hope that I have for the future is when I see my Savior and his acceptance of me, because I've accepted him as my Savior in life from all the ills of this world.
It's so nice when you read the book Seasons and Senses that you can sit and you can read through a number of chapters and enjoy the reading, and that will get you thinking and reflecting as well. Or if you just have a few minutes, you want to go back and refer to something or just pick up the book for some inspiration, it works in that category as well. In summer, one of those there is is Three Sisters. So I'm assuming there's a little bit of autobiography included in that poem as well.
Yes, sir. Let me find that one. Do you happen to know what page it's on?
I don't have the book in front of me, but that...
I found it.
Okay.
That one is illustrated with three lovely cats. We were...
I love those,
cat
yes.
People. We loved our cats. We had a lot on the farm because it was important to keep the rodents down with all of the grain in all of the barns. And so this one kind of introduces each of us as we came along in life and the close bond that we have with each other and some of the things we did together.
And for anybody that grew up very close to their siblings, the memories start flooding back from that situation as well. The book is, as I mentioned, divided by seasons, spring, summer, and then autumn. So many, and that's another interesting time of the year. I'm avoiding winter because we live where it snows a whole lot in the winter, so that's not necessarily my favorite time of year. Autumn is very nice if you overlook what comes after autumn. Autumn is a very nice time of year, and you have a poem there, Thanksgiving Day Remembered, and that's so powerful because we just went through that holiday as we head into the Christmas season. Talk about writing that poem, Thanksgiving Day Remembered.
Well, recalling that I have four boys and seven grandchildren now, one of my favorite times is all of us being together, preparing to share a meal, and just, I don't know, the warmth, the laughter, the camaraderie, the jokes, teasing, smelling all of the great food, cooking. And my boys and my husband love my cooking anyway, so they love coming home. And to mom's cooking, her pies, turkey.
Oh, yes, yes.
Bread, all very nostalgic.
I'm ready for dinner. I just had that meal a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think I want to wait another 49 or 50 weeks. That sounds so inviting. The book is Seasons
yes.
and Senses, Poetry and Other Thoughts. Darlene Ewers, our guest on This Week in America. Information on Darlene and the book, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Getting to winter, you've got some really touching poems in there on the holiday season and the meaning of the holiday season. Happy Birthday, Jesus is one, and you read that and suddenly you remember again, okay, it's not necessarily about going out in buying something and gifting and receiving. It's much deeper than that, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. It's the reason for Christmas and the name for the season. Christ is in that word, Christmas. And too many people want to call it Xmas or Happy Holiday. But we have to remember we wouldn't celebrate Christmas except for Christ's birth in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. He's my Savior, He's my Lord, my King. And the picture I chose for that illustration is a famous painting. So that particular poem I used in one of my Christmas letters several years ago.
And that, I'm sure, was very meaningful to the recipients. And again, with the illustrations, with the pictures, it just sort of amplifies the message that you're talking about in the poetry. And I'll read one more here. This is interesting, and you mentioned the food. Grandma's sugar cookies. We can all sort of relate to that. We all had that grandmother or somebody that really did a nice job, just knocked it out of the park with one of the recipes. And that brings back, at least for me, and I'm sure other people, so many memories in reading a poem like that.
Yes, that is written about my maternal grandmother's recipe. It's one that's been handed down from her to my mother, to me and my sisters, and now my granddaughters. And it's our favorite sugar cookie recipe, and the key ingredient is cream of tartar. It makes the cookie crisp and not soft like many, many sugar cookies are. These cookies are very unique. They have a unique flavor with the spices. And the picture in this book is of me in front of a collection of cookies that I had just baked, and they went to one of my sons who was serving our country in the military in Iraq at the time. So that was a poignant memory for me to include.
Well, you know, that's interesting.
He said they didn't last 5 minutes.
I can imagine.
The cookies were gone.
See, those are the ones you have to open and hide right away. Otherwise, you get involved in sharing and there's nothing left. I can certainly see how that could happen. A couple minutes left in the program. Several more poems that come to mind as I'm thinking of all the poems in the book, Seasons and Senses. Diamonds and the Pelican. Let's talk about diamonds. This is a cute poem. I like this one.
Yeah, you know, sometimes now that we are retired, I can just sit on my couch and look out of the patio door. And this particular poem was written after a rain. And we have a lot of pine trees here in Michigan where we live in the Upper Peninsula. And I like it because the raindrops were just sparkling in the sunlight that early morning. So I was thankful for just that. You know, I don't have to have diamond rings or diamond bracelets. I can look outdoors and they're all around me. And it's just another reflection on God's beautiful creation.
And just another benefit of the book, when you read, you enjoy the poetry, and then you think, you know, she sees the rain and sees something totally different than I see the rain. Maybe I should look at it through a little bit different perspective. And that you do such a nice job of bringing that home, and you're thinking, maybe I'm missing something. It's going to rain. I might as well, you know, enjoy it. The Book of Seasons and Senses, of Pelican, I love that one as well. Talk about how that came about.
Well, my husband and I had been invited to Florida one year by one of our neighbors up here in Michigan, and he would spend his winters there. So we were on the beach along the ocean very early at sunrise, sitting on a park bench, and the pelicans were all around us, and we sat and watched them. And so that one's kind of a comical one. They're a very, well, I could say gangly.
I think that would be accurate, yes.
Not graceful by any means, but just the pure flight, act of flight into the sky, and how graceful they are when they land on water. It's just truly amazing. It's my husband's favorite poem. He laughs every time he reads it.
And speaking of husband,
just envision that ugly old bird coming in on his flat feet on the surface of the water with a fish in his mouth, no less.
I can envision that as well in reading the poem. And you mentioned your husband James' dedication in the book, a golden wedding anniversary this year. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I would say that's quite an accomplishment. Not everyone can say that.
No.
And we celebrated with all of our children and grandchildren this summer. So we had a special dinner.
I'm sure that
and
was...
50 years of marriage takes hard work.
That...
It's a commitment. It's a promise. Through sick and thin, for better, for worse, until death do us part. And it's a legacy. That's the thing I'm most proud of for our four sons and their children, that it's the world just makes it easy to quit and not keep that commitment or that promise or keep your word. And so I put the picture of our actual wedding ceremony in the front of the book in the dedication because it is dedicated to Jim's and my 50 years together. We wouldn't have four sons and seven grandchildren if we hadn't, like they say, stuck it out.
Well, it's an inspiration.
And we look forward to another 20 or 25 years.
Well,
yet.
And I certainly hope you have another 50. Let's go for that. Let's see what we can let's set a record here. I think that's such an inspiration to all of us and the family members as well. A minute or so left in the program. What are you working on now? You've got to keep doing this. Now that you've got us hooked on your poetry and your perspective, your observations on life, nature, what goes on around us, are you working on a new collection?
No, sir, I haven't been. This was pretty much a all-inclusive collection of all that I had written to date. And I actually wrote several extras just to make sure I had the same number of poems in each chapter to complete it. So I don't know. I think I've just been busy promoting this book this year and going to local events and all the local libraries and sharing it with family and friends that I really haven't thought yet about producing another book.
Well, this one is excellent. Seasons and Senses, Poetry and Other Thoughts. Darlene Ewers, the author of the book, our guest on the program. The book is a republished book now available for sale in ebook and paperback at its lowest retail price. Available for sale in all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page-Turner Press, and Media Direct bookstore orders. Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot more. And you can link on to all of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Darlene, thank you so much for sharing the book with us on the program. Love having a chance to read it, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Rick, and thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you today.
It is our pleasure. Once again, the book Seasons and Senses, Poetry and Other Thoughts, Darlene Ewers, our guest on the program. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.